Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Wednesday, June 17th, 2026. Hope you're all doing well. The Yankees are doing well. We come into play today now with a 2.5 game lead in the American League East, of course, and we're going to break it all down. Yankees with a complete offensive rout of the Chicago White Sox yesterday in game one, 12-2 being your final. The Rays out west against the Dodgers ended up losing 1-0 out there to LA. So 2.5 game lead entering play today. Guys, we got so much to discuss today. We'll break down, of course, the story from last night's game, and as we often do, take a storyline from one specific moment in particular, which I'll tell you is going to be Spencer Jones, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, Morning Yankee Show, you guys know the deal. We're live Monday through Friday, available on podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You guys know the deal. Click like on the stream if you do not mind. It does help out a great deal. We're halfway through the week. Tonight, of course, will be game two, Yankees versus the White Sox. And 7:05 first pitch. This one is on Prime. So just keep that in mind. Not on Yes. This is an Amazon Prime game. And then the series will wrap up tomorrow. But we'll preview that game tomorrow because we're live every single day. Tonight, game two. For now, though, all we can talk about is what happened in game one, which was a complete offensive rout of the Chicago White Sox. Now, Gerrit Cole also pitched really well, and we're going to break down his outing and really just his exceptional start to his season, 5 starts in since returning from Tommy John. We'll get to that stuff later, but let's get to the obvious, which is the destruction of Davis Martin yesterday.
What's better than that?
Bryce.
That.
Yep. Correct answer. Goodbye. Off the second deck, Ben Rice with home run number 20. Goldschmidt gives it a ride. Deep to left field, and that too is gone. Swing and a miss. That'll do it. The Yankees thump the White Sox in the series opener. 12-2 the final tonight in the Bronx.
12-2 your final in the Bronx. Now, Spencer Jones, of course, went deep. Again, we're going to discuss him isolated to his own conversation because there's so much to break down. But, he goes deep, second home run of the year. Ben Rice, 20th home run of the year. And that's really what got the ball rolling in terms of blowing it open. Now, you also had a Cody Bellinger 2-run single, which was huge at the time, of course. But nonetheless, the Yankees, wrong clip, excuse me. The Yankees, and here's what I want to talk about in regards to the outcome of yesterday's game. Rice goes deep, 20th home run of the year. Make sure you vote for him for the All-Star game, by the way. Vlad is still leading because the entire country of Canada, I mean, understandably so, that's their guy, is voting for him. Vlad has 3 home runs and OPS below 750. He is currently the leading vote getter for first baseman in the American League. So if you guys have not already, I submitted my first ballot last night. I was a little bit late to it. Go vote Ben Rice for the All-Star game. And also, not to mention, Paul Goldschmidt should be ahead of Vladimir Guerrero as well. Nonetheless, 20th home run of the year for Ben Rice. His OPS is back over 1 dot. We know how terrific he has been. We'll continue to discuss him all season long. But otherwise, yeah, Goldschmidt, 10th home run of the year. He continues to hit right-handed pitching. And later on, Jose Caballero in when the position player is pitching. Anyways, 12-2 is your final. We all know what happened last night. It was complete and total, like we said, destruction of the Chicago White Sox and Davis Martin. And that's what I want to emphasized here. What was so fascinating about last night, it was a continuation of something we've seen all season long. And I think it's kind of a misguided statement often, which is led more so from past years, which is that the Yankees don't hit good pitching. Well, this year they are. And I think that's another big reason why this year does feel a little bit different. And we're starting to, you know, get to that point as this continues to go on where you're feeling good about this team and everything that we've discussed at length about why I feel different about this team, and now you're really seeing it. They've won 7 of their last 8. They are, now 2.5 games ahead of Tampa Bay. 44-27 is their record. That's a very nice-looking record, a season-high 17 games over 500. And, I think a big reason why things are starting to feel different, and, you know, sometimes it's not always easy to, like, totally, like, put your finger on exactly why. And there's multiple reasons as to why. And sometimes just stacking up wins can, you know, be the reason in itself. But that's for like 2022, when I don't want to say that hot streak through this time in 2022 or past years was hollow. We've had good teams in the past. Sometimes we've played above our head. This is the most true talent 44-27 start I think we've gotten off to in the Judge era, because this team is legitimately good. And a big example of that they continue to show is their ability to hit good pitching. Yesterday, Davis Martin entered with the 6th best ERA in all of baseball. Davis Martin had a 2.41 ERA entering that start, and he is a damn good pitcher. This year, we talked about it yesterday, we previewed it, totally reworked his mechanics, and he's got a six-pitch mix, everything that we broke down in its entirety yesterday. This dude very much is slash, like, well, he is legit, but going to that game, like, again, like, he was one of the best starters in the American League. Not only did the Yankees beat him, which is more so what I like to celebrate, the terms of the term beating a good starting pitcher. You know, you can put up six, or you could two or three, but get the pitch count up high and then get to the bullpen. In the case of yesterday, it was a complete and total, is bludgeoning the word? I think I've been wanting to say that so far on the show, but I wasn't confident enough to make sure I would say it right. I think bludgeoning is the word. 9 earned runs off of Davis Martin. Again, ERA raised from 2.41 to 3.31. And here's the thing. All season long, we have seen the Yankees do this. And that, to me, is really what gets me incredibly excited, because from the second the season began, on opening day against Logan Webb, we saw them do that. They put 7 earned runs up against Logan Webb. We've seen it against Jacob DeGrom. Remember, at the stadium, 6 earned runs against DeGrom. Same series against the Rangers. 5 earned runs off Mackenzie Gore. And some of these pitchers are great. Some of them are good. Some of them are, in the past, not amazing, but having good seasons. You could say that about Davis Martin. Even Friday in the loss against Toronto, Treya Savage. It may not feel like it. The Yankees put up 5 earned runs against Treya Savage on Friday. Sticking with the Blue Jays, remember a couple starts back, or a couple, like about a month ago at the stadium against Toronto, Dylan Cease was pitching great. Dylan Cease is one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he was the Blue Jays' big free agent signing. Yankees put up 5 earned runs against them, and it could be the total amount of runs scored, it can be, you know, their final line not looking great, or just when you actually watch the process. And yesterday was another great example of that against Davis Martin, where first time through, the Yankees talked about this in the postgame. First time through, they very much like gather intel almost and like figure out their approach to get their plan of attack set. And then come second time through the order, they strike. The Yankees have the second highest OPS in baseball second time through the order. And that's something that like I keep harping on. Always like, not like harping on to you guys, but like a lot of things I say is to remind myself as well. Like I like to say things out loud. That's essentially, I feel like, almost what this podcast is at times, is like me thinking out loud. But, you know, I try to be patient first time through when watching the Yankees against any pitcher, because second time through, more often than not, is when indeed they strike. And that was exactly the case yesterday with Davis Martin. Now, of course, Jones, who we'll talk about, that was his first at-bat when he went deep. But nonetheless, I mean, we don't do nothing against, you know, like Ben Rice, Paul Goldschmidt. It was a very quick and breezy first inning for Davis Martin. It's like, all right, let's see how this goes. And at that time, you know, Gerrit Cole gives up the home run to Benintendi. We're down 1-0. And we talked about it yesterday with Martin. It's like the White Sox pitching, well, they got some good names in there and some arms. And no matter what, White Sox are a good team, but they're heavily offensive based. However, the best pitcher is the one we were facing tonight, yesterday, and Davis Martin. So you get to that first inning, you're down 1-0, and he looked great in the first. It's like, all right. But I had to remind myself, and I always do, first time through the order, the Yankees, you got to be patient with, because second time through, not to keep repeating myself, but like that's when they strike, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. Anyways, like so many examples. 5 runs off Dylan Cease. Even a guy like Parker Messick, again, there's tiers of great. Like, scoring 6 runs off DeGrom was incredible. 5 runs off Dylan Cease, incredible. Treya Savage, it remains to be seen exactly what he is, but at least we know what he is against us for the time being. Like, we hadn't scored a run entering Friday's start against him. Yankees, this team, 2026, put up 5 against him. Parker Messick, the starter for Cleveland, the left-hander, he entered play in that start last week with like a 2-4. Yanks put up 5 against him. So, I mean, there's countless examples. And, of course, there's also going to be times where a good pitcher does shut down the Yankees. There's going to be times where Slade Ciccone shuts down the Yankees. And no disrespect to Slade Ciccone, great guy. But, obviously, doesn't mean every single time against a great pitcher, a bad pitcher, a decent pitcher, or whatever, a pitcher you never heard of, there's going to be games where the Yankees only score 1 run, 2 runs, maybe even get shut out. That's baseball, obviously, but more often than not, it's not a foregone conclusion by any means to this team. Like at times it has been in the past where you're facing a good pitcher and then it feels like, especially if they get into a groove early, the Yankees are beat. Not the case at all, because the at-bats have been good. The depth of the lineup, even more so than maybe we initially thought, is absolutely there. And the at-bats yesterday, and Jones, again, we're going to talk about Jones in just a little bit with his own conversation, but the at-bats against Martin yesterday, some great takes. And this Yankee team is very much aligned with how, you know, like the Yankee way, the classic book that pretty much is the Bible of how the Yankees are supposed to be run and how the team is supposed to look. very much aligns with that, where it's good at bats, working the counts, along with, you know, Taylor's all this time with us, which is power. Home runs are very important. Everything else is very important too, which we always preach. Two-strike approach, we have that. And again, we'll talk about Jones, but I want to mention real quick the idea of, you know, there's like a stigmatism against a high strikeout guy, and 100% rightfully so. That is something that I think the Yankees have evolved with, my brain has evolved with, where like I used to always say, and I don't stand by this anymore, my line would always be like, if you get on base at a clip above 350, I don't care how much you strike out. That was truly how I felt. I don't feel that way anymore because I don't think a 1-9 of that works. However, with the way the Yankees lineup is now, where you have professional hitters, you have guys that do indeed have a two-strike approach, you can afford to have some three true outcome guys here and there. You know, like one or two three true outcomes is just fine when you got a Cody Bellinger, when you have a Paul Goldschmidt, when you have, I mean, even off the bench, we talk about Max Schumann a lot. Like, even off the bench, the Yankees have good at-bats waiting. I mean, I'm in Rosario. I don't know if I want to say good at-bat per se, because, you know, he's very much a free swinger, but he doesn't strike out a lot. And the Yankees have a lot more of that than in years past. So we're so far removed from, like, 2021, which I think that was the first year that really opened up my eyes where, you know, obviously it's a forever evolving opinion. That's the beauty of taking ego out of it, because there's nothing about being proven right. The only thing I want to be justified with is that the Yankees are going to give me a World Series title, and I look forward to that. But it's like, I was wrong years ago thinking of that mindset. And in fairness, to a degree, it's like, that's how the Yankees thought. And like we always talk about on here, it's like, there's nothing wrong with making mistakes. What there is something wrong with is not learning from your mistakes. And the Yankees have seemingly done that. This lineup is, at least in the Judge era, and of course, we're without Judge, we're without Stanton, we're without Trent Grisham, and Trent Grisham has been great, we know that, and he is very much a great at-bat. Trent Grisham might be a top three at-bat in this Yankees lineup at full health, but nonetheless, it's refreshing to watch this team. And again, they're not always going to hit good pitching, they're not always going to hit bad pitching, but yeah, actually, the fact that you go into that game, put up 9 runs against Davis Martin, who, White Sox fans, I doubt you're tuning in today, I'm not saying in a rude way, because you guys were really cool yesterday, and you were saying how I did kind of get a decent grip on the vibes of the White Sox team. And you guys, if you are listening, if there's one White Sox fan listening, your team is still really exciting, pretty damn good, and probably is going to make the playoffs. And Davis Martin still remains really good. But as we said, and this isn't proven by one game, by the way, there's 2 games left, there is indeed a gap between the Yankees and whoever the next best team is in the American League. So yesterday was awesome. Yanks bludgeon the White Sox, 12-2, game one victory. Let's talk Spencer Jones, because there's a big conversation to be had with this, and it stems from his play since returning from AAA after Judge got hurt, and he continued that yesterday.
That one is rocked to right. There's home run number 2. Spencer Jones goes to the second deck, his first Yankee Stadium home run.
I think having a couple weeks just to meditate on the things that were going on from my first call up and certain actions, I think for me on the field, certain routine things, certain mentalities, certain approaches to the game, I was able to really focus on and, you know that next time I get an opportunity that I'll make the most out of it.
Is there anything you changed in between the promotions?
I think it was just confidence that I, you know, belong and that I'm, you know, a major league player.
Spencer Jones, he is hitting .318 since being recalled. Judge goes down. Jones has played 8 games since. And I will say, the home run is obviously very impressive. And we know what he's capable of doing power-wise. And on the season, he's at a 109 WRC+. With that, the strikeout rate is there. But as we mentioned, you can afford to have one or two high strikeout guys in the lineup, given that there's production to make up for it, but especially given that there's other guys in the lineup that aren't three true outcome. You can afford 1 to 2 to 3 true outcome guys. Now, with that in mind, I want to mention, I think the most impressive at bat yesterday was Spencer Jones with the bases loaded. It should be coming up here. 3-2 count, bases loaded. Should be coming up any second here on the highlights, but this pitch right there, that is 2 inches inside off the zone. And one thing, while the strikeouts certainly do remain, a near 40% K rate, he does seemingly know the zone, Jones does. And now that we're seeing the power come through as well, I wonder if this is indeed changing the Yankees' plans for like what they anticipated this stint would lead to for Spencer Jones. Now, what I mean by that is that could be Jones building up value to possibly get dealt this summer, which I'm not going to lie, is still very much on the table. However, something to keep in mind with Jones is that if Trent Grisham were to depart in free agency, then our center fielder next year would essentially have to be Cody Bellinger, which Bellinger we know can field the position no problem. However, he's the best defensive left fielder in baseball. I think the Yankees very much would like to keep him there. So let's just assume for a second Grisham's gone next year. Center field, who's the heir to the throne? It's not Jason Dominguez, we know that. It could be Cody Bellinger, but I don't think the Yankees want to go that route. They could, but not plan around it. Spencer Jones, with the way he is looking right now, and again, hitting 318, you have slash line right there, 318, 423, 636, with two home runs since being recalled. And a big thing is not the stats, because you know anybody can put up a good couple weeks, and this still remains to be seen. He looks like he knows the zone. And again, with three true outcome guys, a 1-9 of 3-2 outcome, a 1-9 of a 40% K rate, which he's not going to always be at a 40% K rate, by the way. That is a very high and absurd number. You can deal with one or two. It works in this Yankees lineup because the balance, the two-strike approach, the professional hitters that we have surrounding a guy like Jones, they all kind of very much complement each other. And the big thing here is we know about the power. But watching him, especially in the second stint, he's able to control the zone. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't very encouraged by it. It has me thinking next year, I mean, heck, we haven't even mentioned this. The defense is terrific in center field. He made a great play yesterday. In front of our own very eyes. Like, you can see it. You can see the athleticism, not to give all the cliches here, but if he can control the zone the way he has, and we know about the power, so that doesn't really have to be discussed. And yesterday that was on full display. Who's our center fielder next year? I don't think there's, like, Vegas odds for this, but if I were to create them myself, right now I'd have to be like, yo, it would be Spencer Jones. Either him or Cody Bellinger. But again, I think things want to keep Bellinger in left field, and it can't be Jason Dominguez. So for right now, we don't know exactly what the Yankees' plan was going into this, and it could be as simple as, hey, we don't have a plan. We'll see what happens. All we know is Judge and Stanton went down. We need an outfielder. All right, bring up Spencer Jones. And, of course, they did. I'm starting to think he might be changing the Yankees' plans because there was certainly, in my opinion, a world where even right now this could still be in play where his value hasn't gone down. It's only gone up. And the Yankees could, you know, take advantage of that. If they don't believe in Jones in terms of long-term answer at center field, all right, well, value's shooting up right now. Trade deadline is about a month and a half away. They could capitalize on the value, or on the flip, and this is really where I'm leaning, I think he's putting himself very much in the conversation to be the everyday center fielder next year. Again, especially if Trent Grisham were to depart, because otherwise, who is our center fielder next year? And, I mean, we know with Jones, like, he's got the look, he's got everything. I mean, he's a good-ass dude. Shout out Ryan Cohn, who went to dinner with him the night before, and he said, Ryan Cohn's like hit me up this morning, he's like, you know, Spencer Jones is the best hitter in baseball since me and him went out to dinner the other night. I'm like, you know, word up. Anyways, where I'm at with Jones right now, I think he is very much, if the Yankees' initial plan was, we don't have a plan, we'll just see what he's got, or boost his value and possibly capitalize on that value and trade him, which all those things still could be part of the conversation, I think he's changing that conversation right now, and it's, yo, we might have our center fielder next year. We may have our center fielder for the next 10 years. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but heck, I'm a big Trent Grisham fan. Even right now, I think the best defensive center fielder on the roster is Spencer Jones. So between that, between the main thing here is the way he seemingly definitely knows the zone. And that's what you want out of a 3-2 outcome guy. And for those obviously who don't know, like a 3-2 outcome guy means walks, strikeouts, home runs. And in fairness to Jones, all he's ever done at AAA is hit. What he's also done is strike out a lot. What he's also done is walk. But now that you're seeing it in front of your very eyes, you can quickly process that. No, this dude is not like, I don't want to, like, diss Joey Gallo. Yankee Joey Gallo was obviously bad. Rangers Joey Gallo was a much better example of, like, a good 3-2 outcome player. But a big part is, again, knowing and controlling the zone. And that walk yesterday with the bases loaded, I thought was more impressive than the home run. And it has me excited. If you can tell by the tone of my voice, I'm quite geared up for what we're seeing with Spencer Jones. So it remains to be seen. It's still a small sample size. But, again, look at the slash line since being recalled. 318, 423, 636. He has been incredible. So it was exciting. Now, he's probably not starting tonight because we're facing a lefty. So keep that in mind. But anyways, we'll preview that game a little bit later on. Let's move on to this, though. Gerrit Cole looked really good yesterday. So first game, or first inning, rather, Andrew Benintendi takes him deep. And then we talked about it where Davis Martin had the shutdown first. And it's like, all right, let's see how this game goes. Well, for a good while, that was the only hit Cole had allowed. From there, he really bared down and the command, the fastball, and that's the most exciting thing I think with Cole so far is how great the fastball slash the sinker look. Now, not everything is perfect. He talks about it himself that like he needs to, not needs to, like this will come, but whether it be just building up from any injury, but of course come back from Tommy John, the stamina, and that's kind of been an issue so far. Also, he does seemingly to a degree like lack a little bit of a put away pitch right now, and I think part of that is like the location with the breaking ball, whether it be you know, the 12-6 or like slide or whatever. He's been hanging a few breaking balls, but that of course be corrected. He's Gerrit Cole. But the most impressive thing is the fastball velo and the fastball command and like the movement on that sinker that he's throwing. Let's hear from Gerrit Cole, because yesterday in the end, he turned in a great outing. 6 innings of 2-run ball. And we'll hear from Cole in the tail end interview from his post game where he talks about, it's actually quite a funny interview. Great question asked about like, do you compare yourself to pre-TJ? Or are you like a new guy? Like, how exactly do you evaluate yourself post-surgery?
The 0-2, he got him. 97 over the outside corner. Another 1-2-3 inning delivered by Cole. Swing and a miss, chased upstairs. Fifth strikeout for Cole. Swing and a miss. Another 1-2-3 inning for Gerrit Cole.
Are you at this point comparing yourself to like your normal before surgery, or because you have a big elbow surgery, does that mean you're finding like a new normal version of yourself? Stuff wise.
I feel like it's kind of a blank canvas, and just laying down some base layer paint, and we'll see what kind of Bob Ross concoction comes up at the end of the year. You know what I mean? A little bit of liquid white.
You know what I mean? I love him. That's something that doesn't need to be said. We're all in the same boat. We love Gerrit Cole. And an interview like that, or just, it's cool as hell. Like, I love any athlete when it's, you could have a certain personality, and Gerrit Cole is like goofy, funny as hell, but obviously when he's on the field, he's a killer. And watching his, just the way he goes about his business, and this is the same from, you know, way back when, part of why we love Gerrit Cole is the way he handles himself. But of course, being honest with ourselves, the real reason we love Gerrit Cole is because he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. And somehow, some way, he is already essentially back to being that. And it's only going to get better. Again, the command honestly looked pretty damn good yesterday, especially as the game went on. He did talk about how coming out of the stretch, he feels like the command's been not as good. But my main, none of these are concerns, actually. My main thing to point out with Cole would be, again, like the lack of a put-away pitch so far and the lack of command when it comes to the breaking balls. But again, the fastball, the velo looks terrific. The arm side run on the sinker looks terrific. And it's not supposed to go this way where you look this good this soon. 5 starts now. Since returning from TJ, 2.57 ERA, and even whip of 1. And think about where he's going to be at come October. And of course, he's healthy so far. That's the main thing. But there usually would be more of an adjustment process, more of a figuring things out than there has been so far with Cole. And we've seen some adversity, of course. But even yesterday, like, he faced some adversity early on. Like that, what was it, a 2-2 pitch to Benintendi that he gave the home run on? It was like a really bad pitch. Like, that was in great location. But as he mentions, as you know, we saw with our own eyes, like the command, not that pitch, but he got the swing and a miss. Command got way better as the game went on. And everything that we've seen so far in the 5 starts body of work wise is incredibly promising. And all these little, you know, kinks that we got to work out, and he will indeed work out. Just think about what the final product will look like come October. And that was always the mindset with Cole, is, you know, be patient with him, but come October, I think he's going to be Gerrit Cole. Well, I think we're already almost like 90% of the way there, if not in a way like more than that, because it almost feels like he's better than he was previously. At least like the foundation of where he's at with the fastball, with everything that is going well, which is a lot of his game right now is going well, besides the things that we mentioned, which will be corrected. I mean, I think the foundation of this Cole is certainly better than the one we saw in 2024, who was also really good. And that makes sense, just not this soon. Because, you know, he has a new elbow. He's healthy, but not this soon. He looks terrific. He looks absolutely terrific. Again, apologies for starting the wrong stream today, by the way. Anyways, game 2 tonight. I'm going to have to start a new watch party for that, or schedule a new stream. But anyways, series game 2, middle game tonight, 7-5 Eastern, first pitch on Amazon Prime. Left-handed pitcher for the White Sox, Anthony Kay, who's 6-1 with a 4.34, will go up against the lefty Carlos Rodon, who's been really good lately. Even his last start, 3 runs, but he was he was pretty damn good and got the W. So, game two tonight against the White Sox. We'll be live for that one. As we know, the Yankees have crushed left-handed pitching all year long. I would expect, in all likelihood, Jones to not be in the starting lineup because Yankees have been pretty strict about that. When a lefty's on the bump, Jones doesn't play. Jason, who had his tooth pulled yesterday, should be all good back in there. He was available off the bench yesterday. We obviously didn't need him. Should be back in there today. And with that, you probably have... Well, actually, what would they possibly do here? No, actually, you know what? I'm trying to think. Maybe they would start Jones. Because Jason should absolutely be there in there today against the lefty, and he's been much better, as we know, against lefties. So you probably put him in right, Bellinger in left, Rosario would be at third. I think they're going to start Volpe at short. Who's playing center? I mean, No, they'll probably do Jason in left, Bellinger in center, Cabrera / Schumann in right, Volpe at short, Rosario at third. That's what I would expect. Yes. Yes. And then we'll probably see Ali Sanchez behind the plate, which, hey, he had a good game the other day. Anyways, game two tonight. I'm going to get out of here, chat. A little bit of a quicker episode, but we're doing baseball today earlier. Again, apologies for starting the wrong live stream. I know you guys are, and apologies to my guy Morg, we're just waiting in there. That's my bad. Ideally, it won't ever happen again. That's the first time I've done that. Damn. Anyways, love you guys so much. I will see you later tonight for the watch party. Let me pull the chat really quick, because I said I would do so yesterday. Also, I want to shout out my guy from yesterday who left the super chat that I usually don't always check the chat in these morning shows, which, you know, we spend a lot of time in the live chat come the watch parties. But let me make sure I give this guy a big shout out, because yesterday, I didn't realize until after that, let's see, who was it? It was Dimitri. Dimitri sent in a super chat during yesterday's morning show saying, Dan, love the content, and I'm one of the old heads that lived through the 90s dynasty. Let's go Yankees. I appreciate you so much, brother. It's a fun time to be a Yankee fan right now. There's a lot more season to go, of course, but so far, so good. Click like on the stream if you guys do not mind. It does help out a great deal. And that'll do it for this episode of the Morning Yankee Show. We'll be back tonight with the watch party, and then back tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, with another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you later. Until then, let's go Yanks.